Let us pray, dear Heavenly Father, as I share with our church family your word, I invite your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. We thank you for the amazing, amazing, amazing gift you've given us in Jesus Christ. To him be all honor and glory. We pray in his name. Amen. In a world where fear, terror is the new normal, we find many decisions being driven by fear. But the message of the first Advent, the message that the angel gave to the shepherds, is a message that should fill us with hope, with comfort. The message, be not afraid. Do not fear. And it seems hard for us to put that emotion aside as we go through life, as we face challenges and difficulties. But that's the message of the Bible. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I know a lot of you have been traveling to visit family this past week, or maybe this month. You've been to different places, and going somewhere is always a little, takes planning, and you have to prepare. And about a month ago, my father and I received news that my cousin was getting married December 23. That was this Wednesday. He wanted us to marry him. And we had heard that his parents had gone to the bride's home, and they do it. It's very traditional in Mexico. You take the parents and they go and ask for the hand of the bride. And, they agree, and they said December 23. So my dad and I made plans, and when I was looking for the tickets to fly to Ciudad Obregón, Mexico, and come back, I found out that Thursday and Friday, no flights. We were on vacation. Pilots were on vacation. I thought, well, I need to be back by Sabbath. So I asked the groom and bride, would it be okay if we started the wedding a little earlier? So a little earlier? Okay, let's start it 1 hour earlier. I said, okay, so that was 4 o'clock. The flight leaving Wednesday for my father and I, 7 p.m. So we had to have the wedding start on time so that we could get back to the airport, back to San Diego, and I could be here with you this morning. Praise God, it all worked out. Amen. Yes? And again, the message is, do not be afraid. Fear not. And it's the message that we find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 1. And as we read this story that I know we've read many times before, we've heard, I'm always amazed at the message that I understand every time I read it. And this time around, when I was reading it, again, this idea that God gave his son. Amazing! God gave his son to you and to me. He didn't let us borrow Jesus. He did not sell us Jesus. He gave Jesus to us. He's ours, brothers and sisters. And not just for a day, not just for a year, not just for 30, 40, 50 years. He's ours for all of eternity. Amen? I was like, wow, God, you gave. When we give a gift, we don't expect to get it back after a week, right? Or we don't tell the person, well, now you used it, now return it, please. We give it away. God gave us Jesus. Heaven poured upon earth through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if there was somebody who I think could have been a little anxious and worried and feared, was Joseph. At least this is what chapter 2 kind of implies. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. The spirit of prophecy tells us that it was God who was leading Caesar Augustus to issue this decree. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. Joseph was living in the town of Nazareth in Galilee. And he had to travel south to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Verse 4 tells us, because he belonged to the house and lineage of David. Traveling in those days, no plane, no cars, no buses. If you had a horse, wow, that was really good. If you had a mule, that was good. If you had a donkey, it was okay. Many had to travel by foot. And we don't know how many days it took Joseph to travel down to Bethlehem. What we do know is that he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him. And she was expecting a child. I don't know how many of the women in our church have had to do some traveling while they were pregnant. But I hear it's not easy. And Mary was traveling with Joseph long distance down to Bethlehem while expecting a child. And to make things worse, when they got there, there was no place for them, no inn that would take them and give them a room. They found a manger, a place where animals live. That was the one place they found for their family. And to top it off, her son was born there. Wow. Talk about stress. Talk about making difficult decisions. What do I do next? I can imagine Joseph asking God, God, what do I do next? How is this your plan? And I think it was during that moment, while Joseph was thinking what he was going to do next, that the Bible tells us there were shepherds who were living out in the fields nearby. And they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. They were taking care of their sheep. And I can imagine these were shepherds that had done this generation after generation after generation. They were accustomed to being out at night. They were accustomed to maybe even seeing a beast who was trying to take one of the sheep away, or scaring somebody off who was trying to steal a sheep from them. That night seemed to be pretty normal, quiet, calm. And they were just there, probably looking up in the sky, looking at the stars, and saying, wow, what a beautiful night to be out here. How relaxing. While Joseph was still thinking, what are we going to do next? Now we can't travel. We have to wait a few days here. Making sure their firstborn son was wrapped in cloth and placed in a manger. And it was at that moment that the Gospel of Luke tells us an angel appeared to them. an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were happy. Is that what the text tells us? They were terrified. They were afraid. They were, what's this? We've never seen something like this. Never heard of this. And I can imagine it was only just one angel who was there, but with all his glory, with all its brightness that surrounded them. They didn't know, do we run or do we fight? And it was at that moment that the angel of the Lord said these words, brothers and sisters, that ring like good news to us today. Do not be afraid. Amen? Do not be afraid. And I want to believe that when those shepherds heard those words, do not be afraid, they were okay. Their fears were gone. And they listened attentively to what this angel said. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Have you been in situations where you wish somebody told you those words? Do not be afraid. I think this was the second time. I must have heard it before, but I got more details of a story. It happened to my father when he was 15, 16 years old. He had gone to the school in the southern part of Mexico called Linda Vista. He had gone there to study, to get his education, high school diploma, and 1 year of theology. And back in those days, with 1 year of theology, they would send you out to be a pastor. So at the age of 17, my dad was attending 20 churches. But this was before that time. So he must have been like 15 years old. His older brother, Hiram, had come to the school to get his high school diploma. He was a little older. He was in his 20s. And he was also one of the drivers at the school. And they had gone to town. They were coming back to the school. And this was a 1945, 1946 Ford truck. And the truck didn't have a windshield. And the truck did not have brakes. So the way they managed it was you just went from second to first, and then you started going downhill with the motor making it stop. My uncle had to stop, and they picked up a lady who was with, I believe, her grandson. So they got into the car. My dad was on the outside of the truck holding onto the door, and they had a big light on the left-hand side, so he was holding onto that light and to the door. The other students were in the back of the pickup truck, just holding on to the side. And the truck started to go down. And my uncle had said it was in second gear. And he went to put in first, and he would not go into first. And he tried, and he tried. And the truck just went faster and faster and faster. And the truck kept going down. And everybody was holding on for dear life as the truck kept going down. My uncle said that at the end of the road, there was a right turn. So he was going to try his best to make the truck turn to the right and not go into these buildings that were in front. So when he did that turn, the truck flipped to the side. Students flew. The ones who were in the pickup truck flew. Believe my dad, he held on. He would not let go. The truck somehow rolled over him, and he was under the truck, and the truck just kept going on it with the four wheels on top. And my dad says that he could remember just putting his arms down on the ground, and he would just slide with the truck. As it was moving forward, he would slide. Nothing happened. A scrape on his left-hand side. He kind of mentioned it, and that was all. Everybody was like, wow, a miracle. And at that moment, the pastor of the college knew he better tell the parents what had happened. So it was my uncle, who was the driver, my dad, who was on the outside. Nobody got hurt except for one of the students who broke his ankle, who was on the back of the pickup truck, but nobody else got hurt. And so the pastor took the first bus he could get, made a 12-hour trip to Salina Cruz, Oaxaca, went to my grandfather's house, knocked on the door, and said, "You need to get back to school. Your two sons have had an accident." That's all he said. He didn't say if they were well or if they were... He just said, "They've had an accident. You need to come back and see them." And my other two uncles, Jacob and Gerson, they both say that they were there watching what Grandpa would do. They knew it was important because the pastor would never come during the week. He would come on weekends. So this must have been something very important. And Grandpa said, "It's okay. If they're alive, praise God. If they are dead, praise God." That was his attitude. It's going to be okay. I asked my uncle, "Well, why was Grandpa okay if you guys didn't make it?" And my uncle thought about it and he told me, "You know, Sam, he was happy that both your father and I were in a Christian college. And for him, God was in control. God was in control. He was not afraid." So the pastor was not able to convince Grandpa to go see his two kids back in the school. He saw them months later when they returned home, and they, of course, they told him the story, and Grandpa was like, "Well, be careful driving cars without brakes." So praise God that he watches over his children. Amen? I think this was the same attitude that these shepherds got. And they got it from Scripture. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 121, a psalm that we know well, a psalm that we had as our call to worship, the first four verses. And I want to read all eight verses. They're not very long. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Amen. Amen. That's the God we serve. A God who watches over his children. And that doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. In the world that we live in, a sinful world, bad things do happen to good people. But God watches over each one of us. Amen? He is taking care of each one of us. And as I was talking with my cousin Daniel, who was getting married, and he said, "Sam, you know, I'm taking my parents over to the bride's home. I'm walking with them." This was around 9, 10 p.m. That's where his parents were staying, at the bride's home. And he's taking them there, and he thought, wow, who would have said that I would be doing this tonight. I'm getting married. He couldn't believe it. And he said, and this started a long time ago. They had been dating for 8 years. We thought, you're not going to get married. But he said, you know, decisions that we make have consequences. And here I am taking my parents to meet my wife again. My cousin Daniel didn't grow up a Seventh-day Adventist. He was 11 years old when he made the decision to follow Jesus. And his mother and Daniel, they got baptized. Maritza, his wife today, she was baptized at age 9. And both of them decided to follow Jesus and to commit their lives to him. And they grew up in the church, and one day they were asked to represent their conference at this youth rally in Medellin, Colombia. It was for the Inter-America Division. And so they were selected, they got their money, they paid, and it was at the airport in Mexico City where Daniel, for the first time, saw Maritza. He says, wow, I saw her, and I noticed she didn't have anybody with her. And I noticed she was taking pictures of all her friends and people that were going, but she was never in the pictures. So I decided to take a few pictures of her. And when we got back from Colombia in Mexico City, I told her, Maritza, I have some pictures I would like to share with you. Would you give me your email? She said, sure. This is my email. Later on, I had her phone number, and I was able to talk with her. And 2 months later, I was able to visit her in Ciudad Obregón. Decisions that we make. And praise God that He is watching over us. Amen? He is the one leading us, guiding us. Each step of the way, telling us, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We go back to our story here in Luke chapter 2. Again, the shepherds get the good news, the great news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And I can imagine these shepherds going, wow, the awaited one. The one the prophets have talked about for such a long time. And they were ready to see him. But again, their expectations, very different. A king, where do kings live? In a palace, surrounded by guards, surrounded by royalty. But this king was different. This king was born in a manger. And so the angel had to also give them a sign so that they would recognize the king. You'll miss him if you don't get this information. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Wow. Amazing. The king of the universe chose a manger. Chose to be wrapped around simple cloth to keep him warm. Chose to live among us human beings. To give us an example of how to live, how to love, and how not to be afraid. Amen? Don't be afraid. A doctor was asked by the organization that he works for to do some community service and to help out somebody in the community. And so he put his name down and they made the arrangements so that he would meet with a child at a store. And this child would then go through the store and ask This is what I would like for Christmas. This is what I would like for the holiday seasons. And so the doctor was there and expecting to buy a toy, buy something that this kid wanted. While he was standing there, he noticed that the kid had not bathed in a couple of days. And he noticed that his clothes wasn't that nice. And so he said, "What would you like me to buy today?" And he said, "I would like you to get me some socks." "And could you get some for my sister?" I said, "Socks? Sure, I'll get you some socks." "Is that it?" "Well, do you think you could buy me some shoes? And some shoes for my sister?" "Okay, is that it? Do you want anything else?" And he said, "Could you buy me a sweater? And a sweater for my sister?" And the doctor was intrigued and says, "Well, why are you asking for these things?" And he said, "Because where we live in our apartment, there's no heater and it's very cold." And to think, brothers and sisters, that the King of the universe decided to step into our shoes, amen, and to live among us, and to take our place, to experience what you and I experience. Amazing. Amazing. And the shepherds suddenly saw a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's stay here and just enjoy the rest of the evening." Is that what they said? No, they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let us go and see if we'll find the child, the Messiah, the one that it's in a manger." And I'm sure if there was anybody who knew where all the mangers in Bethlehem were, that was the shepherds. Amen? They knew where the mangers were. They knew where to bring their sheep and keep them safe during the night. And they must have known, "Oh, that manger? We know exactly what manger you're talking about." And he took, and all the shepherds, I imagine, brought their sheep. And they went down to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Verse 16 tells us, so they hurried off, and what did they find? They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They found what they were looking for. How happy are you when you find what you're looking for? Is there joy in your heart? There's joy in my heart when I find what I'm looking for. And they found it. They found Jesus, the Messiah. And they were happy, brothers and sisters. Amen? As you look back at the year 2015, I know that some of you have gone through one of the most difficult experiences in your life. You probably lost a loved one. You've probably gone through difficult situations. But praise God that we have found Jesus. Amen? And we have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. We have hope. We know that things will get difficult in the future, but we believe that Jesus will be watching over us. He'll be watching over us. Verse 17 tells us, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. "Mary, did you know? This is the Messiah. That's what the angels told us. Joseph, you know who this is? This is no ordinary kid. This is the king. He's come. He's finally here. And verse 18 tells us that all who heard it were amazed, and that the shepherds said to them, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Verse 20 tells us the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen? Do we have to be afraid, brothers and sisters, at what might happen in the future? At the things that might happen to us or our family members? The Bible tells us, do not be afraid. Good news! The Savior has come. Amen? And if there's a message that we as a church have to share is, good news! Jesus is coming again. He's coming to make all things new again. Has he left us with signs so that we won't miss his coming? The Bible is full of signs as to how the Messiah will come the second time. Every eye will see him. He will come in all of his glory with all of the angels. And we do not have to be afraid. Amen? The book, Ye Shall Receive Power, that we have been studying on Wednesday night, has this quote on page 369 and paragraph 2. In divine love and pity, he came to earth to fight our battles for us. For he alone could conquer the adversary. He came to unite man with God, to impart divine strength to the repenting soul, and from the manger to Calvary, to pass over the path which man would travel, at every step giving man a perfect example of what he should do, presenting in his character what humanity might become when united with divinity. Amen? What is God asking of us today? That we just take time to talk with him. That we'll take time to read his word. That we'll take the time, brothers and sisters, to spread the good news. Amen? As it was mentioned during Sabbath school, if we wait for Pastor Jeff and myself to spread the good news, we're going to be here a long time. But if all of us together spread the good news through the talents that God has given us, through music, through prayer, through Bible study, through cooking a meal, there are a lot of people who need hope today, brothers and sisters. There are a lot of people who are afraid. And we have great news to share. Do not be afraid. The Savior, Jesus, has already come. And guess what? He's coming again. Amen? He's coming again. And we need to be ready. And the only way we can be ready is if we know him, if we trust him, if we unite our weaknesses to his strength. Our knowledge that is so small and vague to his infinite wisdom. Our poor decisions to his amazing decisions. Amen? And the promise is that one day we will be with that King, the King of glory, who came to this earth not only to be born in a manger, but to live among us, to give his life for each one of us. and who is coming very soon. Amen? Let's share the good news of his soon coming. Amen.